Who likes asking for things? Asking for advice? A few hands up already. Yeah, brilliant. No, very eager. Anyone else like asking for things? Just Edith. No one else? I think a few other people. Yeah, a few people like asking for things. That's good. That's good. Asking for advice, asking for help, asking for someone to give us the time of day, whatever it might be. People who didn't put their hands up, why don't we like to ask for things? Anyone want to shout out some of the reasons why you don't like to ask for things? Any suggestions? Anyone? Sorry? Stress? Yeah. I heard another one somewhere. Pride. Excellent. Yes, pride. Yeah, definitely. That's part of it. Yes, Barry. Don't want to feel like a dummy. Yeah, I know that feeling. Yeah. Yes, definitely. Any other reasons we don't like to ask? If they say no, yes, definitely, that's part of it. I think sometimes it's because we know what the answer's going to be, right? And maybe it's no. Or we know that it's not going to be the answer we like, and maybe we wait till asking until we can get the right answer. I don't know how you approach that. Sometimes we need to ask. Sometimes we don't like to ask. This verse, these verses that were read, have the word ask in there quite a lot. Ask, but also ask, seek, knock. And if you can't even remember ask, seek, knock, just remember ask, and it spells the other three out for you. Hey, there you go, nice word games if you're like me and you tend to forget things that would be good to remember. Ask, seek, knock. Show up in these verses a few times. It's even the heading in our Bibles if you've got one of the pew Bibles. What are we talking about? Ask, seek, knock. This comes in a bit of the Bible known as the Sermon on the Mount, and we've worked through it for quite a lot of our parade services over a couple of years now. It's also even more in a section about prayer. This is Jesus giving us ways or helping us understand prayer. It comes after the Lord's Prayer that we had read earlier on, which is a prayer that Jesus says we can just say out, and it covers a lot of things. But beyond that, he's giving us, I guess, some tips, some ideas. Ask, seek, knock. I have a friend called John, not this John, another John. He's my friend from uni. I've known him, I'm getting on for 20 years now. We lived together at university and our friendship continued afterwards, so we can't have been two bad housemates for each other. We had a great time at uni. He now lives a bit further away in the magical land of Milton Keynes with roundabouts. It's a great place to visit. So we don't see each other as regularly now. We meet up, it tends to be when there's a game of rugby on and we can watch, share our love of rugby. My friend John, if I want to ask him for something, I can't sit at home on my sofa and just think it, can I? I can't, with all the will in the world, even if I think really, really strongly, I can't just think. He's not going to figure it out. I need to do something, don't I? I need to phone him up if I'm feeling really keen, text him maybe, email him, something along those lines. And what Jesus is getting at with this idea of asking is that actually God knows what we want. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But Jesus is pretty clear here that we should be asking God. We should make a step. We should do something. Ask out loud. Sometimes we can pray in our head as well, but we call that prayer, that idea of asking God. And one of the things we do in prayer is ask for things. We prayed this morning, we pray in church, people pray in their homes. As Christians, we believe that we can have that connection with God. We can ask things. And some verses like this back that up, showing it's very clear that God wants us to ask. What about the idea of seek? If you've been to any of these parade services before, you know that we like to do something where we hide stuff around the church. Some people, yeah, I've got your attention now. We hide things around the church and we get you to seek to find them. I want you to see if you can find, hidden around the church, some messages from Jesus. Go. Been serious, have a look. Can we have a look around? Yeah, some of you know. Anyone found anything? Messages from Jesus hidden around the church? Anywhere? You're doing a good job seeking. Okay, thank you. We'll give that in as lost property, I think, afterwards. Not... Okay, strange, we normally have something by now. No hidden secret messages tucked in? No, nothing? No? Ah, hold that thought. Good job, thank you. Hold that thought. Brilliant. Have a seat, that's fine. John, did you get that email I sent you about 11 o'clock last night? It said, can you hide some stuff around the church for me? I'm not going to have time in the morning. Did you get that one?
Nah, I didn't look at my emails.
Ooh, this is a bit awkward. sorry. Apparently, you have to think about these things beforehand. Okay, no, okay, I'm not quite that disorganised, although people who know me may not be too surprised. But there's not really stuff hidden around the church, but good on you. Because actually, there is something. Do you want to stand up and hold that up? You maybe sussed out where I was going. There is stuff that's not so hidden in the church that helps us seek God. The Bible, you see them as two stacks as you walk in, as you're greeted in the door. Thank you very much. When we're talking about seeking God, it's not a game of hide and seek that we need to look in hidden places. It's more the idea of seeking. In the Bible, we do actually need to seek. We might need to flick through the Bible to find a verse. We might need to read the verse a few times. We need to seek it out. But it's about the idea we put in some effort. And I was very impressed that all of you were very quick at getting up there and seeking around. You made my point nicely. Asking is one thing. Seeking is the next step. We have to do a little bit more. It's not about finding Jesus hidden down the back of a chair in church. It's about seeking him in the Bible. It's about seeking him through prayer. We ask once, but we might seek him a few times. We might ask him again and again. Sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers the first time. Sometimes he wants us to seek him a bit more. Okay, ask, seek, and then knock. Can I have a volunteer? Maybe a volunteer in uniform. Sorry, Matthew. Any volunteers, anyone? Would you like to come up? Is that okay? Sorry. Excellent. You look very happy to be chosen. You put your hand up. What's your name?
Alexis.
Alexis. Okay, thank you very much for Alexis coming up. You do have to maybe look out. I know they're a bit scary, but I think you know Alexis. Alexis, thank you very much. Well, I've got a challenge for you, okay? You just need to come up and stand just on, maybe on the first step, is that right? I need you to go and knock on that door. Wait. You have to stay on the stage. You have to stay on the stage, knock on, you're looking at me very confused now. Stay on the stage, knock the door. Can't throw anything, do not throw anything at the door to knock. Your fist knocking on the door. Sorry. I'll stitch you up a bit here. There's a way of saying thank you for... Okay, we could try some tricks, but I was thinking, okay, thank you very much for helping me out. Right, give her a round of applause. Knocking is even more, isn't it? Knocking, actually, if we think about it, Jesus is not talking about an actual door that we go and knock on and he's standing there as a person behind it. It's not quite that idea, but it's the fact that it's even more. Asking is one thing, a step up is seeking, and even more is knocking. Knocking persistently, maybe. It's a bit ruined nowadays, because I don't know about you, but if I go to someone's house and they're expecting me, I knock on the door once. I don't knock on the door again. Anyone else have this? What do we do next? What do people do? We phone them, don't we? I'm outside your house, let me in. It's a bit, we've probably lost the idea of knocking persistently. But it is going for that idea, isn't it? That actually knocking a few times again. We ask God for things. He might want us to keep knocking, keep persisting, keep going with it. If we were to read the same verses as we read this morning, but in the book of Luke, they're actually almost word for word the same. I'm not going to read that section, but just before the identical verses that John read for us there, in Luke, it has this story. Jesus is saying this. Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity," some Bibles say persistence, "he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." Jesus is encouraging us to take more and more steps with this. Not just a single ask and that's it, wait for it to happen. Seeking and knocking. And it's not just something we do once. Asking repeatedly, seeking repeatedly, knocking repeatedly. But we know that he's always listening. We know that he's always there at the door when we're knocking. We know that he's always wanting us to seek him and find him. Does anyone know this lyric? Any Janis Joplin fans? Or anyone who's seen it on the car advert is probably more likely. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Ring any bells for anyone? Yeah, a few people, okay. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? What? You know, these Bible verses say ask and we will receive. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? If you know the rest of the lyrics, it goes like this. Oh no, it doesn't go like that. My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends. Worked hard all my life with no help from my friends. So Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Very hard to say that and not sing it, actually. But I'll save you from that. Sometimes our prayers are like this, aren't we? It's not a knock for anyone who's got a Mercedes-Benz. I'm not going there with that. It's more about the fact, the reason why the person is asking. They want a Mercedes-Benz because their friends have got nice cars, but they prefer a different nice car, basically, is one way of reading this. Or they've worked really hard and they think, oh, I deserve a Mercedes-Benz. I've worked hard all my life. I deserve it. Lord, won't you buy me one? Sometimes we ask God for selfish reasons. And if we see these verses, it does say things like, ask and it will be given to you, for everyone who asks receives. And we might start to think, well, hey, God's like a genie. We can ask him for anything. I want a Mercedes-Benz. I want a, let me think here, Xbox, whatever the latest one is. Xbox, I want some Lego. I want whatever's on the adverts in between every single kid's TV show that makes your kids want every single thing going. Whatever it might be, we ask for things. Adults ask for things. Kids ask for things. They're just different things. Yes, God can and does give people nice things. And I know people here in the church who God has blessed in amazing ways. And more often than not, they've used those amazing things to bless other people. We see that with the harvest here. You've all taken what you've got. Maybe you went out and bought it. Maybe it was spare in your cupboard. However you got there, you brought it so that other people can benefit from that. We shouldn't be reading these verses that we can just ask for things in a selfish way. Asking for things for ourselves is okay. Asking for things for other people is okay. But it's not using God as our shopping list. Another way to think about it, we see elsewhere in the Bible, it says God promises to give us what we need compared to what we might want. Sometimes they can be the same. Sometimes we do get it right. What we want is what God wants as well. That's possible. But sometimes what we need is different than what we want. One final way to think about it. Anyone recognise this film? A few people. Yes, there you go. Bruce Almighty, excellent, yeah. A few of you know, if you don't, I'll just explain what's going on in the film, because a few bits are slightly confusing. For starters, Morgan Freeman, who's up there on the left, is playing God. Okay, so that's interesting, because we talk about how we don't know what God looks like. I mean, he's a great actor, he's got a certain gravitas, but he's playing God. And to teach the other character, who's played by June Carey there, who's Bruce, to teach him a bit of a lesson. So Bruce is a bit moany. His life isn't working out the way he wants. He basically, most of his prayers to God are moaning. I'd like a better job. I'd like, you know, my friend's got Porsche. I'd like a Mercedes-Benz. It's that kind of thing. To teach him a bit of a lesson, God, played by Morgan Freeman in this case, says, right, I'm going to give you access to my power. You're going to have, as a human, you're going to have the power of God. And obviously, Jim Carrey's like, fantastic. And he goes away and does some crazy stuff and, you know, gives himself a better job, car, all those sorts of things. The other part of what God makes happen, to make it fair, and this is why he's trying to teach him something, is Jim Carrey, in his head, he hears every single prayer from every single person who lives in the city where he lives, 100,000 people or whatever it might be in America, constantly. These are coming into his head the whole time. And the clip, which hopefully Justin is going to have sorted in just a second, picks up from there. Are you okay? No. The video clip. Jim Carrey is having trouble dealing with all this stuff going on in his head because he's hearing every single prayer and request.
Prayers, okay, prayers. He's creepy whispering things to stuff. Organization, management, need a system, something concrete, concentrate.
Now everybody's happy. Reply all yes to everything. 300 million emails or whatever it might have been that he was wading his way through there. There's a few things that shows. One is it's quite good that God doesn't rely on answering our prayer requests as emails one at a time. God can hear all our prayers at the same time. God can give equal attention to all of our prayers. He's not relying on magic emucks and coffee to get him through the day and then working through his backlog and realising that he's not even caught up with the ones that have come in since he started. God doesn't work in that way. We can all pray. In fact, sometimes we do pray at the same time in church. We encourage it. We can all pray at the same time. God can give equal time to all of our prayers. We don't think that because someone else has got a more important prayer, God's not going to listen to our prayer. He doesn't work like that. But as it ended there in the clip, Jim Carrey, with the power of God, didn't quite get it right, did he? He didn't have the time and effort to do it all. He said, oh, what a bunch of whiners. He did reply all, yes. Everybody's happy. And they were, actually. The clip, and if we carried it on, we'd see. People were happy at the beginning. They got what they wanted. Everyone had got what they wanted. Car, new job, money, won the lottery. Except the problem with the lottery one, and this is where it goes wrong in the film, and we see why Morgan Freeman playing God was trying to teach him a lesson, is that lots of people prayed to win the lottery. And they all won the lottery. But if you know how lotteries work, if everyone wins the lottery, you share the prize between everyone who wins it. 20,000 people winning the jackpot prize isn't so great because they all ended up with $5 or whatever it might be, a small amount. All these people were very happy that all their prayers got answered and then suddenly very unhappy when they found out the reality of the fact they hadn't won the lottery. And the film goes on, they riot and they find out that Jim Carrey character is responsible for it and things go from bad to worse but might end differently as all films tend to do. So there's something in that there, isn't it? We know on a level that actually, and we see it in these verses, God likes to give us good things. And going back to the example with Darren and Josh at the beginning, God doesn't want to give us bad things that can harm us, like deadly poisonous snakes, like the father in that example. God is our loving father even more. He doesn't want to give us things that harm us. Sometimes the things we want aren't what God wants for us. So finally, to think about all this, we can see these verses. We're encouraged to ask and seek and knock. We're encouraged to pray. Pray often, ask God for things often, seek God, put the effort in, knock repeatedly, persistence, however you want to think about it. And we might look at these verses and we might go one of two ways. We might actually think, we end up asking too much for the wrong things. We use God as like a shopping list. I'd like a Mercedes-Benz, please God. All my friends have got Porsches. Whatever it might be for us. Maybe we go that way. That extreme of just saying, right, God, I want this, God, I want this, God, I want this. Selfish things, things that aren't helping others. God wants to give us good things. He also wants to give us good things to help others. But maybe actually for more of us, it goes a bit more the other way. Can you flick that? Maybe we don't ask enough for the right things. Actually, maybe we say, right, okay, I get how God works. I understand God. I know he can't answer everyone's prayers in the way they'd like, so I'm not going to bother praying. I know that in this situation, God's not interested in my life in this situation, or God can't solve this situation. I'm not going to pray. I don't want to involve God in my life. I might not like the answer. Whatever it might be, we don't ask enough. And because of that, we don't ask enough for the right things, and God doesn't get to bless us. God wants to give us good gifts. God is a loving Father. To finish, there's a verse from James. James 2-3 sums all this up quite nicely. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So Jesus spells it out quite a few times in these verses in Matthew. Ask, seek, and knock. I guess we just need to do what he says. Amen. Thank you.